This week, we're going to be having a talk with Jill Shannon, the author of Coffee Talks with Messiah, and she's going to teach us about intimacy. And next week, we're going to be talking with Michael Murphy, an author, and he's going to talk about, especially if you've been addicted in your life, how you can be totally transformed. The really neat thing about today, Jill is the most generous person. Is she is giving away, we have 4 copies of books, of her fabulous book, How You Can Achieve Intimacy with God, and she's going to talk about her challenges. But we've got 2 huge coffee cups, which are great if you love coffee, which is Coffee Talks with it, with Jill Shannon. You'll love that. And then we have 2 CDs called A Part of Me by Jill Shannon. And some of this is tremendously deep prayer and worship music that she has created that she speaks and performs at all around the country. So what we're going to do when we actually call and dial up to Jill, when Ray dials up, is when you call up, if you have somebody or yourself you'd like to give yourself a gift, you not only can get the book, when you call, you tell Ray if you'd like a copy of Coffee Talks and the coffee mug. We have 2 coffee mugs. So the first that call up, they can get a copy of Coffee Talks with Messiah by Jill Shannon and a beautiful coffee cup. It's a big round one. It's beautiful. The other people could call up and say, I want a copy of Coffee Talks with Messiah and the CD, A Part of Me. It's wonderful worship music and praise music, and that can also go together. We have 2 of those. When we run out of that, we still have 2 books left. So remember, when you call up, and when you do call, you'll call 790-2040. For those of our wonderful listeners in Sierra Vista on KNXN, you'll call 520-790-2040. And you'll ask for Woman to Woman. And tell Ray if you want a book of Coffee Talks with Messiah and a free, beautiful Christmas coffee mug, or you'd like the book Coffee Talks and the CD, A Part of Me, with Jill Shannon. It's got a beautiful picture of the Lord on front. And when we run out of those, when we run out of all those, then we'll go ahead and we'll give you the 2 remaining books. So we've got that to look forward to. To give you an idea, this woman, I thought she was so interesting. She's a Spirit-filled Jewish believer. She came to know the Lord Yeshua and lived in Israel for 7 years with her husband and 3 children. She developed this thing called Coffee Talks, where she actually cultivates a personal intimacy with God. And I had a coffee talk this morning, and it was strange. It was just wonderful. I put a cup of coffee down for the Lord. Now, no, I don't. I'm not going crazy. I don't expect him to drink the coffee. But it develops such an intimacy, and her music is wonderful. And personally, if you don't call up for those coffee mugs, I don't even care because I love them. They're wonderful. But this is our gift to you. So we want to share those with you, and we will be doing the interview with her at about 12 or 13 after. So that's powerful. You'll also want to know something. If any of you have stayed in a hotel room, you have to do something or you will be surprised. And this is what I found out, and I put to test what she told me in a hotel room, and it made all the difference in the world. So remember, you'll also learn what to do when you're traveling in a hotel room. And we have someone that we're talking to. Anyhow, we're going to be doing that, and I hope you're excited. And I'm going to read you this Christmas poem. I said I'm so excited about my guest, Jill Shannon, the author of Coffee Talks with Messiah. And Jill, are you there?
I am there.
Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Thank you. Hi, Kathy.
You know, in the first... We've been doing this 20 years in February, and I have never, listeners, I have never talked to a guest so much before who I feel has become a friend, and she's just started out as a guest. It's the strangest thing, but I feel like I know you already, and we haven't even done the program yet.
Right, me too.
But anyhow, we've got, we're going to play some music for you. We're going to do it in the second segment, and I just wanted to let all of you know, this is just an incredible lady. I gave you some information before for all of you, but if you just tuned in, Jill is a Messianic Jewish Bible scholar. She's an author, a singer, a songwriter. She grew up in a Reformed Jewish home. She accepted the Lord in 1973. Later, she and her husband went to Israel. They stayed there 7 years with their 3 children. They learned Hebrew. And now you speak about experiencing God's glory, holy living, the feast of the Lord, and Israel in the church. And I think I just had my cup of coffee with the Lord, and some of the people must think when I told my pastor I was having coffee with the Lord, he kind of said, excuse me. So I think one of the things maybe we should get in is, Jill, explain to folks what in the world is a book having Coffee Talks with Messiah about?
Well, I need to back up just a little bit, and this just wasn't born out of this idea. I think I'll just sit down and have coffee with the Lord. So if I could just back up a little bit.
Sure.
In the spring of 2006, last year, the Lord asked me to set aside 3 days of total seclusion with Him where I shut my door and I did not come out for 3 days and three nights. And I was allowed to have small meals and coffee with Him during the intensity of those 3 days. And what I noticed was that when I sat down for my morning coffee, I talked with Him as a friend for the first time. And I had been a believer for over 30 years when this happened. And I had never been able to just speak to Him with my eyes open. The coffee is really incidental. It's not about the coffee. It's about opening your eyes and looking at Him as if He's a friend sitting right there. And during those 3 days, there was a tremendous amount of revelation and so much that's covered in the book, and perhaps we'll get into some of that. But after the 3 days of seclusion were over, He asked me if we could make that a regular time of intimate friendship, and we began to call those coffee talks. And I have continued that discipline 3 times a week up till this very moment.
You know, one of the things about the book that, and I hope all of you get a copy. Like I said, we have the copies here that are free as a gift from Jill. If you call us at 520-790-2040 and ask to be on Woman to Woman, we have the 2 CDs and the coffee, 1 coffee cup left. But one of the things, Jill, is that I think what you shared, the Lord's shared without the book through you, is that He wants intimacy. He wants us to tell Him everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, in the book, if I remember it, you said, well, gee, you know what I'm thinking. He said, but just like a friend would want to hear it, I want to hear it. And that's kind of what you, in the book, you kind of are revealing what you're trying to tell us that He wants from us, right?
Yeah. The way that came about was I had received a prophetic word that during the 3 days, I was not to hold back anything that was in my heart. And I think that it's the way Adam and Eve hid from God when they were in the garden. I think that Christians tend to hide from God. And especially when we're not feeling good about ourselves, I think that's the time when we're supposed to tell Him everything, that we tend to keep it inside. And even though I never said to Him those exact words, you know what I'm thinking, I think that I felt that way, that you already know all my thoughts. And it shocked me how intensely He desires to hear us share that verbally with Him. It really surprised me, and He values that very, very much, that what I call transparency.
Did you get closer to Him as a result?
I can't even measure how much closer I got to Him. In fact, it feels like to me the rest of my Christian walk I was sleepwalking.
Oh, you know, there may be somebody out there listening, and I know some of you may say, how do I know? Suppose I put a chair there. You don't have to put a chair. For me, I like to put a chair because I'm imagining Jesus sitting there. But they say, suppose, Jill, how do you know it's not you talking to you?
Yeah, this is probably, I think, the hugest question in the Christian experience. Because His voice, in some cases, is, as the Bible says, a still small voice, I have a friend who's very prophetic who says that God's voice is about the sound an eyelash would make falling to the floor.
Mm.
You have to have a lot of trust. That the book of James says we have to believe that He exists. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're talking, and the book of Hebrews says everything you say and think is laid bare before Him to whom we will all give an account, if you really believe He's alive and listening, you have to talk to Him in that faithful assumption. And sometimes you hear His voice much more clearly than others. I think someone wrote a book called God, Can't You Talk Louder? And it's really a common confusion, like how can I know for sure I'm not making this up? And in my case, there were those struggles constantly with that question. But as the confirmations would come, He has many, many ways of confirming to His people that this really is me, this is really my voice. Sometimes it's a supernatural confirmation. Sometimes He'll pour out a visitation of healing or glory or restoration into your heart that you know you could not have manufactured. Because if you could have manufactured it, you would have fixed it by now. You know, for the last 30 years, if I could have made up this answer, I would have done it by now because I have a fertile imagination.
Me too.
But we learn to discern between his voice and our voice.
You know, what's so interesting is many of our listeners know that my daughter was ill and I was in San Diego with my husband, and I remember asking you for prayer. And one night, I was so distraught. I remember feeling a presence in the room, and I woke up and I had this peace, and I heard three words, "It's me, Jesus." And I thought I was losing my mind because that had never happened, but I had such a peace and I went back to sleep. However, the next day I began to question myself. How did I know? And you gave me such a beautiful answer when you emailed me that I think all of us, and didn't you say that it probably was? But how much it honors the Lord that even if it was something inside you, Kathy, that you gave him the credit for, right?
Yeah, and you know, he's real. He's a risen Savior, and he lives in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes he even manifests himself to us in a more outward or external way. But it really honors him when we attribute that peace to him, even though we can't prove that he was standing in that room. I mean, we didn't see him with our eyes, you know, most of the time, and we usually don't hear an audible voice, but I think he loves the fact that we're so in love with him that we believe it's him. And even if our own heart was so in love with him that we made it up, it still honors him that we love him and trust in him that much, that he would come to visit us in our hour of distress.
Praise God. I know that we gave away the CDs already, but can you tell me, because when we come back, oh, we have one CD left to give away. Mm-hmm. We're going to play the first part. It's called Part of Me, which is the theme of your CD, your album. It's absolutely beautiful. And we are only going to play half of it because it's so long. But would you just tell people a little bit about your music and how you think this would bless people hearing some of these songs about intimacy with Yeshua?
Yes, this song called A Part of Me is taken from Genesis, where Adam is saying to his wife, "You are bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And the wife was taken out of Adam's side, out of his very bone. And this song is about the Lord looking at his bride, his people, as that we were taken out of his wounded side when the soldiers ripped open his body. A bride was taken out of him in his suffering. And we are now his partner and his holy wife, his bride. And the songs that I write are very, very worshipful. They're not entertainment. They're not for just popular put it on and do something else in the background. They draw the listener into a very precious and intimate experience with the Lord because they're birthed out of my own tears and my own struggles and my own finding his peace in a place of great sorrow.
You know what we're going to do when we come back, Jill, all of you listening, we're going to play the first part of the first song, and then we're going to find out, because this is a nice Jewish girl, how a nice Jewish girl became, is she Jewish or is she Christian? And your years in Israel, and so many of you keep wondering why Israel, Jerusalem, is always at the center of global controversy. And having lived there and being Jewish herself and a Jewish believer, Jill will give us some real thoughts. We just have a few seconds. What is your website, Jill, so people can order more books and more CDs from you?
Yes, my website is all one word, coffeetalkswithmessiah.com.
That's easy. Coffee Talks with Messiah. And if some of you are out there in your car, Messiah's got two S's.
That's right.
.com. And you can order books. You can order the CDs.
Yes.
You can order even the coffee cups. And this
is
just,
that's right.
It's just a beautiful blessing for everybody. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, as soon as it goes in, we're going to hear this wonderful part, the theme song of Jill Shannon's CD, A Part of Me. And beautiful.
Lord, God.
that's just half of a beautiful song by Jill Shannon, the theme of her CD, A Part of Me, by Jill Shannon. And I hope all of you, we only have one CD and one book left. If you want to call us at 520-790-2040. If you are listening in Sierra Vista, and if you're one of our listeners in Tucson on KGMS, call 790-2040 and ask for Woman to Woman. Jill, what made a Jewish girl accept Jesus as Yeshua?
Well, I'll give you the personal answer to that, but I would just like to say that in the New Testament, all of the original believers in Yeshua were Jewish people, and he himself was born of the tribe of Judah. He himself is a Jewish Messiah, and so it really should not be so unusual and so seemingly unnatural for a Jewish people to receive the Lord Jesus. Because in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, salvation is from the Jews. And so in my case, I was raised in a secular and intellectual Jewish environment in a Reformed synagogue. And I was taught, like most Jewish people, that we just don't believe in Jesus. That's for the Catholics and that's for the Christians. And he's a Gentile Savior is the way I kind of grew up hearing about him. And yet I have to say, Kathy, that from my earliest memories, there was this feeling inside me that who is this man? And I'm saying, like, since I was 4 or 5, I was wondering, who is Jesus?
You were drawn.
I really was. And my parents, who just could not understand my curiosity about this person, who really seemed like a foreign God to them. But as I got older and entered the terrible stress of the adolescent years and depression and all kinds of mental turmoil that goes with being an unstable and mentally active person and that kind of... I wasn't morally grounded because I didn't grow up in church and I didn't have that kind of foundation. So
right.
As I went through that struggle, I more and more was searching, is there anyone? I knew that God was the answer. I just didn't know how to connect to him. And so when a dear, dear friend began to share with me that she had come into what she called a personal relationship with Jesus, my heart just really leapt at the idea, and it was not that difficult for me. And in the book of Romans, Paul says that the Jewish olive tree is the root of the Christian faith. And it's very natural that God would readily graft in an original olive branch back into their own tree. And that's what happens when a Jewish person receives the Jewish Messiah. It's really a good fit.
It is so incredible. We have a Jewish believer, Jerry Cross, who works here at the station. And there's just, for me, there's such a joy seeing God's chosen people when they come to know him. So there follows the question, Jill. Someone might say, well, are you Jewish or are you Christian? What do you say?
I would say that I'm a Messianic Jew, which means that I'm Jewish. I love my Bible. I love the wholeness of God's heritage and his calendar and his feasts. I honor my heritage. I've never thrown that away. I'm very much Jewish, and when persecution rises up against the Jewish people, I'll be there with my people. Nobody's going to separate me out from persecution. But I would say that I'm a Messianic Jew because I have come to know my Jewish Messiah, and he is the core of my intimate relationship with the Father in heaven. Without Yeshua's sacrifice, we cannot be connected to God who made us.
Jill, why does you and your husband and your children live there for 7 years, and you've studied so much and you are Jewish yourself, why does Jerusalem always seem to be at the center of global controversy?
Well, outwardly, Jerusalem doesn't have any resources that the world should clamor to own Jerusalem. She really doesn't have any mineral wealth or any port city or any great diamond mines or worldly wealth is just not found in Jerusalem. But God made a covenant with that city, and that was the city where Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac. And God has called that the city of the great king, and he has connected his past and future redemptive acts in human history all around that city. That's the city where our Lord's feet walked his last walk on this earth. That is the city where he was crucified. That is the city in the Mount of Olives from where his feet ascended up to heaven. And that is the city to which his feet will return. And because God has put his name on that city and invested his reputation as a covenant-keeping God, so the world and the nations clamor for ownership of that city. Because I think in the spirit realm there's a jealousy to compete with God, because that city is the key to his return to earth.
Amen. Do you think as Christians we should be keeping the Jewish feasts of the Lord?
I believe that anything that is done of that nature needs to be done out of a voluntary and loving heart, Kathy. It's very important that Christians not get into a legalistic mentality as if we could earn more of God's love by keeping the feasts. Keeping the feast is something you do out of a great love and obedience that's of a voluntary nature. It's not compulsory, but you are so blessed when you honor the calendar that he established and which he said was an everlasting calendar. It never ended. When the Messiah came to earth, that didn't end God's appointed times and seasons. And so any Christian that chooses to learn more about his feasts and lovingly celebrates them in the freedom of the new covenant will feel his pleasure, feel his favor, and will definitely reap rewards. But it should never be done out of a compulsory or legalistic motivation.
You know, there is so much I still want to ask you that even when we have our next break, I don't know if we're going to have time. Do you want to speak more? Do you want to play another song at the next thing? Because there's so many other questions I have. What do you feel in your spirit?
I'd be very happy to keep answering questions till the clock runs out.
Okay. We just have a minute here, but could you answer the first part of this? Are we prepared for persecution in the American church, do you think, Joe?
I think we're living in slumber land in the Western church, in the American church. I do not think we're prepared for hardships, let alone the kind of persecution that is taking place with believers just like us all over the world right now. No, we're not prepared, Kathy.
We're going to have to do an awful lot to get prepared, right?
Yes and no. It might be simple. It's a matter of the heart.
Okay. And sometimes you wonder if we've just had so much for so long, we don't know what it means to give up, because I know you suffered stress and you went without and you learned a lot when you were living those 7 years in Israel, right?
It's true, but preparation can even come without physical suffering. You know, in the meantime, it's really a matter of heart, attitude, and willingness to lay down everything for him.
That's so important. I want all of you to hear that. And if you want to listen to read this book and how powerfully Jill was able to do it, you can call us. We have one free book and one CD at 790-2040. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, remember I mentioned the hotel room to you ladies? We're going to talk about deceptive spiritual and physical manifestations. This is Kathy Thomas. Stay tuned. Don't go away. Your host, Kathy Thomas, welcoming you back. All the books, all the cups, all the CDs are gone. But it is such a beautiful way to be ministered, and it's blessed me so much. My book that Joe gave me is not going to get out of my sight. You can go to coffeetalkswithmessiah.com, just as it sounds, all one word, coffeetalkswithmessiah, MESSIAH.com. Make a beautiful Hanukkah Christmas gift. And this is a type of thing, if I had some Jewish friends, that especially Jewish friends too, that might be just the slightest bit open, boy, I would like to give them that. Jill, one of the things we talked about is there is a Satan and he is evil, and there are deceptive spiritual and physical manifestations. And one of the things that really helped me is when you talked about how when you go into a hotel room, you should do certain things because of these deceptive forces. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yes, I had a very shocking and bizarre experience in a hotel room in Birmingham a couple years ago. And I had already experienced the glory of God prior to this deceptive manifestation. So I was accustomed to feeling God's power going through me, and I knew what that felt like. And I had gone into a hotel room and had not done what is called a spiritual cleansing of the room. I guess I thought Satan couldn't touch me because I was walking an upright life and because I hadn't opened any doors to sin. I did not think that he would have that right, you know, that permission to
right.
do this to me.
Right.
But I actually had a shocking experience where my body was assaulted in my bed. And it would be hard to discuss on the radio. And
sure, death, I understand.
It's in the book where I had more courage, you know, and I spoke about it. But the thing about it was I thought it was God. I thought I mistook this manifestation for being the Spirit of God, and I didn't understand that this was a counterfeit manifestation right away. It took me a day and a half to test the Spirit, and I noticed that when I quoted Scripture, it stopped. And it's kind of a complex story to tell in a short amount of time. But the point is, when we go into a hotel room, before we settle in, it's very important to just claim the lordship and kingship and authority of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, over that room, and to just declare that only the Holy Spirit is welcome in that room, and any unclean thing needs to get out. And it's not like a long ritual. I touch the doors and the windows and the furniture, and I just plead the blood of Jesus over that room, and I just say, Lord, only you can be Lord and have dominion over me and what happens in this room. Because sometimes bad things have happened before we checked in, and
that's
there
right.
are infestations, as it were, of evil spirits. And we know it's biblical. Jesus spoke a lot about demons, and a great deal of his ministry was driving out demons. So this is a completely biblical teaching.
You know, it's strange. Well, it's not strange. It's wonderful. But after I talked with you about that, there was a young man while we were in California, and he was in a hotel room, and he said that he kept getting cold and chills and this horrible feeling at night. And he said to Ned and I was telling him about this. He said, would you mind praying in this room? He said, I've never experienced anything like this. And we were a little bit nervous because we didn't know what we were doing, but we went up, and exactly as you said, and we pled the blood of Jesus, and we cleansed the room out. And do you know, he said from that day on, he had to stay there about 3 weeks. He said he could sleep, and there was no chills, and there was no like this fear that would come over at night with this chill. It was gone.
I absolutely believe
that.
And in fact, in a second attack that I had a week after this one that I was just describing, there was a freezing cold dread came into my bedroom. It was so tangible. There was no mistaking it. And I noticed that freezing cold came with the satanic fear that came over me. And I at first thought it was the fear of the Lord, but it was not. It was a hateful kind of fear, and I had to do warfare to drive it out. And we do have the authority, so it's not something that people should be afraid about. But if we know our authority and we know how to just command the enemy to leave in Jesus' name, he must go. But we have to believe in the authority that the Lord has invested in us.
Jill, you know, when Jesus was talking in the gospel, some people get so confused over this one scripture passage. And I admit, you know, you wonder about it sometimes. What did he mean when he said, I never knew you? Even though you cast out demons and heal people in my name, I never knew you. What did he mean by that?
Well, the shocking thing is that he was speaking about professing Christians when he said that. He was not only talking about Christians, but charismatic people, active in ministry, active in the healing and the deliverance ministry. And they did these things in Jesus' name. And they were shocked when he said, I never knew you. And he was speaking about the intimacy that was lacking in their hearts and in their relationship with him. Because sometimes a person can cast out a demon or even heal in Jesus' name, and he's not putting his stamp of approval on the person that's doing the healing, but he's vindicating his word for the sake of the one who's afflicted with illness.
Right.
And yet he might never have come to know that person intimately because they were walking in secret hypocrisy. And that is the most deadly thing for a Christian, is to be walking a double life where you have an outward public ministry and everything looks wonderful and you can even heal the sick, but privately you're walking in either secret sin or hypocrisy or hateful judgments against your brother and your sister or gossiping with an evil tongue. And the ones that he will say that to are the ones that are hypocrites. And no one else might know it. Even a wife or a husband or a pastor might be fooled, but you cannot mock the living God. And everything in our heart is laid bare before him. So hypocrisy, I think, is what he was addressing there.
So we have to get serious. Is there a special kind of worship or prayer? Because I know you lead so many groups and so many special meetings on prayer and love and God's glory. Is there a special kind that can bring this glory of God like you've experienced it, Joe?
Well, yes, and I'm very careful to say that we cannot earn or manipulate his glory to come. I just want to preface it by saying that. However, what he loves and what he draws near to is a humble and a contrite heart. And I guess the key word and the taproot of the virtues of the Lord is humility. And so as we lower our heart and make ourselves vulnerable to him like a loving, needy, desperate child that just wants to run into his arms, and as we love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength, as Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us, And even the Lord Jesus said that's the most important commandment in the whole Bible. As we love him with a humble and broken and loving heart, just like needy children, he draws near to us when we draw near to him in that honest, transparent way, and especially if we keep short accounts with him, so we don't come into worship with secret sin blackening our heart before him, but we come having cleansed and repented and just gone before him with true humility. He draws near, and his glory may not come instantly because he's not a fast food, instant gratification kind of a Lord, but he will come, and suddenly the one that we are seeking will appear in our hearts and even before our eyes.
Do you think that, you know, you said that a lot of times in America, I think we've become so selfish and taking our just so many things for granted that many of us aren't prepared for persecution. Do you think martyrdom would ever come here, or do you think mainly that's for other countries?
I certainly do not think American Christians are immune from what Jesus said absolutely will happen to all of his bride wherever and whenever they dwell on the earth. His bride will be hated. His bride will be persecuted. He said, before you even accept me as Lord, count the cost. It will cost you your life. And yes, I believe that American Christians will experience what all of our brothers and sisters are experiencing and have experienced from the very beginning. Even now as we celebrate Hanukkah, most people don't realize that this holiday is about the martyrdom of a brave remnant that would not bow the knee to the Antichrist in 168 BC, the original Antichrist. And so, yes, we need to prepare our hearts that we will not party our way into an early rapture. We need to be prepared to suffer as he suffered.
And that's something most of us don't want to do, right?
Well, who would want to suffer? But you know what? The Lord Jesus did not particularly wish to suffer either.
That's right.
He was obedient to the will of his Father. He would have liked for that cup of suffering to be taken from him, just as we would prefer to go in a wonderful, easy, painless rapture. All of us would love that. We're normal. But there is a cost. And if he asks us to lay down our life, we need to follow his example and do that and not think that we're better than our brothers and sisters who pay that price every single day.
Amen. I wish we had more time, Jill, but we're just so blessed that you were a guest on Woman to Woman. And I also want to encourage everybody to get the book, Coffee Talks with Messiah, to order the CD, A Part of Me, to get a coffee cup. You can go online to coffeetalkswithmessiah.com, coffeetalkswithmessiah.com. And real quick, can you tell us your actual webpage if they want to see more and hear some?
Well, that is my webpage.
That is the webpage, okay.
coffeetalkswithmessiah.com. And if they do want a coffee mug that has that on it, they need to email me for a special order because that's not listed on the website.
Okay.
But I'll be glad to send them one.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. So thank you so much, and God bless you, Jill.
God bless you, Kathy. Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah.
You too.
Thank